If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome, welcome to episode 6 of If Lands Could Kill. You might recognize me as Knife City, along with...
A Quickness.
Reich. Hot Sauce.
Oh, man.
So what's going on in our lives since we last podcasted?
Well, today is definitely an early Sunday morning, Easter morning.
We're all fucking tired.
And we're all just hungover on life right now.
Yeah.
It's feeling good.
Yeah, life last night was rough.
I think you're the regular hungover.
That's the regular guy. I think that's the drunk hungover I'm on. That's not the hungover on life.
All of our best podcasts have we've been hungover.
Yeah.
I mean, all of our podcasts.
But yeah, things are good. We're, I feel like we're moving along with these podcasts. But last night was kind of crazy for us. We got to do some, crazy karaoke. But,
yeah, I went to a karaoke place last night.
What'd you guys sing?
Oh man, we got everything from Journey to Europe.
The classics. Yeah, we did Final Countdown. We did what was the best song we were singing last night?
Was it Headstrong?
No, not Headstrong.
Oh, God, what was it?
Son of a bitch.
Scorpion.
Yeah, that was a good
Scorpions.
One. Scorpions.
Rocky Like Hurricane. That was good. That's a classic, man.
Yeah, that was good.
A classic. Yeah, we were all over the place, though, but it was good times. A lot of good food.
Yeah, the place is kind of like, it's pricey.
Yeah, it's a little pricey, but hey.
It's a good fucking time.
Yeah.
And they have like bulgogi. If you guys ever had bulgogi, this shit is
Is that?
Bulgogi is what? Nice. If you guys are into any kind of like Asian dishes, it's a Korean plate, and all it is like sweet beef sauteed with like onions and sometimes mushrooms and shit like that. So just picture like your beef and broccoli, but more tender and more sweet, and it's fucking amazing. It's like beef jerky, basically.
It's called bulgogi?
Bulgogi, yeah.
I just want to giggle at that name. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid, right? But we had that. We had soju, which is like a super sweet, like, it's a mixed drink.
Well, basically. Soju is like, originally it's just like a...
Oh, soju.
It's like a fucking... It's so like a, good. It's some kind of rice alcohol or something like that, but then they mix it with like cranberry or they like some kind of like yogurt or passion fruit or like some crazy sweet ass shit. And it makes it taste good.
For those at home, it tastes like rubbing alcohol mixed with sugar water.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Kool-Aid and rubbing alcohol.
Because
you can taste the alcohol a little bit and it tastes like garbage. Like you can tell it's cheap shit. So that was last night. I don't know. What else, Rick?
Yeah, then we'll touch on this, but all of us were able to get together on a Friday night magic session on Friday. But
that was exciting.
We'll go Friday night magic at San Diego Games and Comics.
Yeah, awesome place, by the way. Awesome place. That was my first time there, and I will definitely be back for sure.
Nice people.
They're really nice.
And if you're from San Diego Games and Comics, we're always looking for sponsors.
Yeah. right.
Sponsor my addiction, please.
Yeah.
So what's up with you guys?
Not much. Just been dealing with a bunch of life stuff. I did recently get to try the Tarmogoyf lottery and had 3 go rounds with that. Did not get anything good.
What's the Tarmogoyf lottery?
Tarmogoyf lottery. Well, it's on Magic Online, and they're doing flashback drafts. So they allow drafts from previous sets. So you can draft them and stuff like that. And it was Future Sight, Fifth Dawn, and there was one other one, but Tarmogoyf comes out of Future Sight, and it's a 1 and a green for a star 1, and it gets the power and toughness for each card type in the graveyard. So, and it's mostly played in the older formats like Modern, and a lot of times, you can have a land, you can have an instant sorcery, and you can have a creature by turn 2, so like this guy is a 2 mana like 3/4 and 4/5. and it comes out, so it's like really huge.
And it costs like $170.
Yeah, these guys like bonkers crazy. Yeah,
fucking foils are like $450 or something for one card.
It's like the best creature in Magic, pretty much.
Probably has the best name too. Them.
Yeah,
Tormagoid. He's the only.
His art's really good too. Yeah, everything's good.
Isn't
about
he
him.
Like the only creature type that's that is actually like a. Some sort of goyf.
No, there's actually. I was looking.
Goyim.
Oh, goyim. I was looking at his goyf brethren, and there's about like 8 other different types of goyfs. It's not Tarmogoyf, but it's a goyf.
I think that's
Bulgogi goyf.
Walking around with those goyfs on their neck, right?
Yeah.
Fucking goyfs.
So I went to the doctor and he said,
"I'm sorry, sir, you have the goyfs. It's terminal."
I usually do it when I finish in the bedroom. I'm like, "Goyfs!" go cross-eyed.
Whammy, goyfs!
Yeah. Shazam!
I like to say Yahtzee. Yeah.
Jumanji.
Hadouken.
Yeah, that's what it's coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got God. Some distance, bro.
So I haven't been doing too much just playing. Oh, I downloaded Trials Fusion. It just came out on the Xbox One. It's like a almost like a 2D kind of it's like, think about Excitebike but like nowadays, and it's awesome. And I played all the previous ones.
Is it pretty similar to the previous ones? Just like
it's
new.
It's pretty similar. They added some new things, like you can ride a four wheeler. You can do like tricks now.
Is it still like a side scrolling thing?
Yeah, still side scrolling.
Okay, cool.
So the tricks are like, all right, they're kind of a little bit on the difficult side, kind of like Tony Hawk, you know.
Mm.
Think about like
for those at home, Knife City just broke his pen.
I almost took my eye out. Think about like Tony Hawk for like the 64. Like it's at that level of kind of difficultness, but it's fun. I feel like it's a little easier than the previous ones, because like in a day I got to like the expert levels, but. I'm super glad. I've been like waiting ever since I got the Xbox One for that game to come out. So pretty excited about that. And fucking nothing too exciting other than that. I'm playing the same old games, Hearthstoning it up.
Yeah, Hearthstone.
Hitting them fucking arenas at work. Yeah. So let's get into fucking.
Wait, I was gonna say that I have been playing Titanfall.
How is it?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's the same as the Xbox One, except that it's just, you can tell some of the graphic stuff is, like, dumbed down.
Your Titans aren't as titany.
They're not as titany. Yeah. But it's really good. It's really solid gameplay.
Tighten up those graphics.
So I'm playing that. It's really fun.
Tighten up those graphics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's fucking early over here, by the way.
Last thing, I got a fucking promotion at work. So, like, I fucking, Basically, I maxed out my level. That's what I did. I hit level fucking 85. I can't go anywhere from here, basically. I think that, like, the rest of my life is going to be in the same fucking position, basically. Which is a good and bad thing, so I'm happy about that. That's it.
More money?
A lot more money, yeah.
Plus, you work days.
And you work days!
So I'm back to, that's important for us, yeah, that I can do Friday Night Magic, which I actually did because we were able to do it because I got off at 4 p.m. where I normally get off at like 2 a.m., so this is going to be exciting for me to start working 8 to 4 like a normal human being, and I can meet up with you guys after work and we can play some Magic casually, or we can go hit up fucking San Diego Games and Comics or whatever else.
Fuck
plus
yeah.
I have expendable income to just buy all the Tarmogoyfs.
All the Tarmogoyfs.
And I'll just start like raining on people, you know. I'll walk into the Magic store and I'll just start fucking throwing cards out of my hand like it's hundreds, dude.
Throwing those lands around.
Yeah. Yeah. All the girls be taking their tops off. And I'm like, no, put those back on. Like,
oh, hold on.
Good for you. So Friday Night Magic, we went and met up for some Foodie Foods.
Oh yeah.
And then we were able to go on over to San Diego Games and Comics out here in Great San Diego, And it was a standard. They had drafts too, but
yeah, we missed the draft, right?
Yeah, like just because the timing. We figured
it showed up when it started.
Yeah,
minute of.
So we just did the standard tournament, and why don't you guys talk about what you played? Let's start with Brent because let's start with Reich because I'm really curious. I have no idea what you played. What could you possibly have played?
Oh, what deck I would have played?
What deck did you play?
Did you use your other one deck?
Oh man, I know I have so many decks. I can't figure out I can't even remember which one I played. I think it was red green monsters. I think that's what
you have was. A red green monster.
When did you get that?
Yeah.
When did you get red green monsters?
Yeah, I think it was red green monsters I played. I'm almost positive it was. But yeah, I took my red green monsters deck out there and started dropping Stormbreath Dragons on everyone's face. And it was good. But
so how'd you do?
I went out of it was like 36
players is what I counted.
Or so, or 40 people, and I actually got at the end of the day 8th place. So it wasn't too bad.
Nice. What was your record?
The first game I played a Bant control deck that played those white enchantments that where you have to pay X amount of mana to be able to attack.
Sphere of Safety.
Yeah, Sphere of Safety, and he had like two of those on the board, and then a bunch of mana blooms, just there, like with like one counter on it, so he never had to take it away. And like by the end of like 35 minutes or something like that, like I ended up conceding because I had to pay like 22 mana for every time I wanted to attack,
which is just ridiculous.
Like I was almost there with Xenagot out or Xenaghost out, like I could plus one him to get because I had like 20 creatures on the board, but it was just taking up too much time, and that was our first game, so I just ended up conceding that game and then going to the second game, and then we ended up just drawing out because it just took so goddamn long against this guy. Because he wasn't able to kill me, and I wasn't able to kill him, so we just ended up drawing. My second game, I ended up playing... who did I play? Did I play you, Corey? I think.
No, I think that was the third.
Yeah, it was the third one.
Oh, that's right. The second game, I won three games... Lost one and tied one out of the five.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the game that I lost was the red green mirror, which was it just pretty much came down to me not getting red mana to be able to play all the freaking storm breaths in my hand. If I would have had like one more red source of mana in there, I would have been sitting pretty. But and then my last game was which the nail biter. It was against Esper control, and I won the first game out of luck because he just didn't draw any removal spells. The second game he ended up winning because he resolved an Elspeth and just plus Elspeth up and then ultimate her for a million D damage. And then the tiebreaker game, I luckily boarded in one Skullcrack and that was in my opening hand that I kept, and it ended up saving the game because I was able to I blood rushed an Elvish Mystic for 5 damage, right?
Yeah.
Which he responded to with a Sphinx's Revelation for like 3 or 4 or something like that, because he was at 8 life. So I blood rushed my Elvis Mystic for 5 damage. He Sphinxes for like 3, but luckily I was holding that Skullcrack and had open mana and was able to Skullcrack him for an additional 3 damage for Xaxes.
Nice.
And cleaned it up, awesome. Dude. Oh man, I feel bad for the guy. His face is like, really?
Yeah.
Really, man? You're gonna do me like this?
Yeah. That's what he gets for playing control, that bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you get for playing Esper control. But that was like probably my worst matchup. Although the second game I played was it was mono black, and that's the one I lost. But that's the one I won. I won against mono black. I lost red green monsters. Yeah, so the first game I played was the Bant control. Second game I played was mono black, which I won by the skin of my teeth also. Because the first game I played against him, it was a clean sweep because he got stuck on mana. The second game he ended up winning because he had a million pack rats out.
Ugh.
And then the third game I luckily, Stormbreath Dragon kept one game, dude. Stormbreath Dragon is such a good card. I love that guy.
Oh yeah.
And him with the Xenagos, Planeswalker, just pumping out those tokens just to sack him and tap down his demon, just. It was gravy. But, man, I had so much fun on Friday.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was, like, the most important part.
Yeah, I had so much fun. Like, everyone there was really nice. Everyone was cool and, it was good players. But I wish I could have did better But I mean, eighth place is great. So, I mean, I took home one pack. I think their prize was one pack and like $5 in store credit. So, I mean, it's not too shabby.
Which is sweet, right?
We pretty much got my money back for entering in.
Plus a pack.
Plus a pack, yeah.
That opened up nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I opened up, what was it, the Rage Blood Shaman or some shit.
Yeah. What?
And I tried to get, the funny thing is, I opened that pack up, right? And
I'm trying to set him up.
I opened the pack up, and like, you know, there's nothing good. But I mean, it's like, it's the Rage Blood Shaman, so it's a decent card. But you know, I was walking around, like I saw this young kid, like a younger kid, like maybe I don't know, he was like what, 10, 11, 12, something like that. And I go up to him, like, oh, hey buddy, like, oh, are you new to Magic? He's like, no, not really. I'm like, oh, would you, I just opened these packs. Would you like, you know, like, I didn't really want anything out of this pack. Would you want a free pack? He's like, no. He just looked at me, like, look at me, like, just stay face, no. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, all right, well, no problem. I was like super awkward. I thought, you know, maybe he was new or like just like a little kid, like, oh, help him out, like throw him some cards, you know. Like, I would love someone to do that to me when I was like, if I was playing the game.
That 10-year-old was playing like Super Friends, bro.
That dude had like probably like $500 worth of cards.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, well, all right, thanks. Well, I mean, anyways, I just walked away. I'm like, all right, well, I tried, man.
He was playing fucking Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, get away from you, pedo.
What are you talking to me? You're probably a fucking, those are fucking Black Lotuses. So
great.
Oh my god. But anyways, that was my experience on Frankenhead, which was pretty good.
That was funny as hell.
Yeah. How'd you do, Juice?
I think I went 2-3, is what I ended up at. First, deck I played against was a Rakdos aggro deck, and I was playing my Esper Control. That went pretty good. He just, you know, he had the hasty guys. He's playing like the Skull Cleaver Minotaur and a lot of things like that. So like, I lost game one because it was too fast. My configuration of the Esper Control deck wasn't good against aggro.
Yeah, aggro's tough.
Yeah, I was more suited for control matchups because that's why I was expecting everybody to play. So, you know, game two, I boarded in like some Night Veil Specters and my Blind Obedience and just it owned him. He couldn't do anything. I hit my two Thoughtseizes in the deck too, so I was able to get rid of his Skullcracks. And then, you know, I just landed two Sphinxes. I pulled my Elspeth. I put that down, and there's no way for Nick to come back from that.
Yeah, Elspeth is just the
perfect against that. Yeah, like, exactly. She's so good. Like, she can defend herself when she comes down. It's just, yeah, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he had a bunch of, like, X1s. So, it's like, I had a bunch of 1-1 tokens. He's like, he had, like, four creatures on the board.
I can't attack into that.
And I had three tokens, and I had, like, 8 mana open. He's like, well, good game. And he's conceded right there because he can't do anything after
right,
that.
Right, understood.
And then game two, I played against, I think it was Selesnya Aggro, and all I gotta say is Voice of Resurgence, bane of my existence. I do not read the card, I do not understand what the card does for some reason, because every time when
there's
it hits...
too much text on there.
Yeah, every time it hits the battlefield, like, I just, my brain turns off, and I don't understand it has text on the card, so I tried to Doomblade something on his turn, and yeah... He put out, like, this weird unhinged card. Because it was weird, because I was looking at it, I was like, well, what are you doing? And I looked at the card, and I was like, why does it have half power, half toughness? I was like, okay, I understand what it says from, but what are you trying to do? He's like, oh, it's a Voice of Resurgence token. I was like, oh, shit. I just wanted to concede right there, like, the shame concede. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm stupid.
And the token is, like, it has power for, like, every creature on the board or something like that.
Yeah, the token is power and toughness equal to how many creatures you control.
Yeah.
So, like, he had that. Plus, the Voice of the Surgeons was still there. And I was like, dude, like, there's no way. I didn't draw into a Supreme Verdict. So, I was like, I was screwed. So, I lost that matchup just because I was stupid. I'm pretty sure I could have come back on game three. But yeah. And then I played against Mono Blue Devotion, and I owned him game one, just because the configuration for Mono Blue is not really set up for the control matchup. Like, they don't have the gain saves main board or, you know, the negates or anything like that. So game one I owned. Game two, you know, he won that game two, and then game three was pretty close because he landed a Jace Memory Adept, And my first land I played was Skyland. And I hope I revealed it. Well, I didn't reveal. I saw that I had the Elixir coming up. And I was like, well, I don't really need that right now. You know, I can eventually dig for it. So I shipped it to the bottom, and he landed the Jace, and I was like, okay, I see where this is going. I had a Sphinx's Rev in my hand, so I was like, all right, I'm going to snipe it. I'm just going to let him mill me. I'm just going to keep drawing cards, playing lands, you know, try to stop everything I can. And then as soon as we get down to, like, the last 10 cards, I'm just going to Rev, and I'm going to snipe the Elixir, play it, and then shuffle everything back in my library. And everything he did was pretty much pointless. But by the time we got to that point, he had, like, three Judges Familiars on the board. And I didn't have enough mana to, like, Rev plus play the Elixir and crack it. So right. I was like, well, I kind of screwed that one up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, that
the Judges Familiar,
yeah.
It makes you pay one more for
the
instant or sorcery.
It counters it unless the owner pays one more. Right. So the line of play I took was a risky one. It was very weak, but, you know, like I said, it's weak, so I didn't really pay off. And then I played against, like, an Izzet player. He was playing an Izzet deck. And, you know, it had some good cards, but I was always one step ahead. And just my overall card quality was, like, light years ahead of what he had. So, you know, it just – it wasn't too good of a matchup for him.
Really. Yeah, I remember talking to the Izzet guy, and he was like – yeah. Yeah, he knew, like, oh, yeah, Izzet's just not there.
Yeah.
He was living on a prayer.
Yeah, he wanted to play it because he found it was fun, which is, you know – it's great, you know, you want to play a deck that's fun for you, you know, but it just got outclassed by, you know, a tier 1 deck because it didn't have the cards to support it yet. So the other ones, I kind of forget, but, you know.
Overall, you went 2-0.
Did you know what place you got overall?
No, I didn't really check what place. When we went up to go find out if we got any prizes or anything like that, I was like, oh, did I win anything? He's like, no, you didn't. Okay. So I didn't bother with seeing what place I actually ended up in.
Well, I guess that leaves me. I was running. I should have ran one of my other decks.
Come on, it's fine.
I played my mill deck though, which is my little pet deck. I know it's not like gonna be competitive any good, but it's just super fun to play.
But it's built the way you want it to, right?
Oh yeah, it's as perfect as it can be. Right now, you know, minus like moving three cards here or there. So my first game I played against, it was like kind of red green monsters, with like some variations.
Was it like an aggro red green? Because I know there's an aggro red green guy that was there.
He had like experiment ones and scavenging oozes and just some other weird stuff. So the first game, he won, just smashed my face. And I think I stumbled on mana or something. So he didn't really know like what the fuck my deck did. And then, so second game
cards.
Yeah. And so second game, I was able to assemble all my pieces together and hit him in the face for like, 20-something consuming aberration, and he's like, oh, that's what your deck does. And
so he lost that one, right?
Yeah, he lost that one. I didn't even actually hit him. He just, like, conceded once he
saw the big old...
Yeah, I had, like, a removal spell to get rid of his last blocker, and then it was on after that. And so then game three, this is, like, the most exciting match all night. Like, the night started off really well. You know, since I'm playing, you know, fucking, like, mill control, the match was going pretty long. So by that time, like, a couple of his buddies were, like, watching the game and everything. And, you know, I was milling them out, and I thought seized him. And I took away Scavenging Ooze when his graveyard was, like, nice and full, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I Crypt Incursioned him for, like, you know, 30 or whatever it was. And then he just, like, showed his buddy. He's, like, the Scavenging Ooze in his hand. He's, like, yeah. Like, yeah, obviously, you know, he couldn't say anything, but he just, like, showed it to him, like, yeah, fuck. And then I took it out of his hand with Thought Seize. Yeah.
Go ahead and just give me that guy.
Yeah. And it came down to, I was hitting him with Mirko Vosk, the Mind Drinker, and it came down to he had two cards left in his library, you know, a whatever card and a land. So if I would have just, you know, got was able to get one more land out of his deck, I would have been able to win. Because Mirko Vosk, when he does combat damage, you have to mill until you hit four lands. So, but that was like fun. Like at the end, everyone was like, "Is he gonna get there?" You know, like it was just it was fun. My second game was against a newer player. She was running like a Wolves deck, which was pretty cool. I was able to, you know, mill her, but she did resolve I milled her good, but she was able to resolve a Howl of the Night Pack, or is that what it's called?
Yeah, Howl of the Night Pack, where it gives you all the
wolf tokens. Or is it the enchantment
one? No, it was Howl of the Night Pack.
Yeah, so Howl of the Night Pack.
And she put out 12 2/2 wolves on the board, and I was like, ooh, you know. But I was able to win. So the first two people were like totally awesome to play against. And then, so my third game, I fucking played against this dick.
Oh, I know. He's such an asshole, that guy. I saw him, too.
Yeah. When we go back, let's beat him up. So I played against Reich in my third game, which out of the four of us, I like playing Reich with my mill deck just because it's so 50-50.
Literally a toss-up.
Yeah, it's like either he just bashes me in the face or I'm just milling him out in that Crypt Incursion for a million. And so, you know, I think the first – you won the first.
First game I won pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And the second game you end up milling me with what was it? The creature that
yeah, Mirko Vosk.
So you mill four lands because I only had like ten cards in my my library, and then all of them were just like creatures. There's no lands.
And then the third game was dragged out. It was kind of
long.
You were ahead, I was ahead, and then you finally were able to just turn the corner and
I brought out the Domri emblem.
Yeah, the Domri emblem. I couldn't run into a Hero's Downfall, and so that was fun. Fourth match, so I went up against the Mono Black in the fourth match, and just couldn't draw lands. Like I was just maybe kept some questionable opening hands, you know, two landers. Like oh, I'll be able to get there, you know, and just not drawn into that third one, you know. And then the last one I played.
Did you lose your
third? Oh, yeah, I lost.
Your fourth game?
I didn't even win one game.
Oh, you went 0-2.
Yeah. And then the last one, I played against this, like, mono-white, kind of white weenies aggro, and he won the first game.
The hungover guy?
Yeah, the hungover guy. Just like, he told me later, he's like, dude, I got drunk like way earlier today, and now I'm just hungover. Like, I don't even want to be playing Magic right now. I'm like, all right. So he won game one just, you know, super quick. Mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, mill him out in the second game, and he took the third one down. So I went 1-4. But I had a shitload of fun, and it was just cool. You know, saw some people we've seen at some other shops, and it was just cool to actually be a part of the human interacting community, like physical atmosphere, instead of just like
no Magic Online.
Yeah, having to be stuck on Magic Online or just drafting with you ass clowns, you know.
Yeah, right.
So definitely had fun. I want to hit up the pre-release next weekend. So if you guys have some time and expendable income, I will definitely be hitting up probably Crazy Fred's for the pre-release.
Right. Might want to try to do multiple ones. Maybe one on Friday, one on Saturday, or something like that.
So I went 2-3, and I was actually expecting to do better than that. How fucking selfish is that of me? But, you know, expecting great things. I was playing a Festering Newt combo deck or whatever, right?
Woo!
Which everyone was cracking up about. The first player I played was an Izzet player. And same thing, he didn't have shit, so like that was it was an easy victory because he just couldn't draw into whatever he had. He had this like he needed to bring out creatures to interact with his instants and sorceries, and yeah. it never happened. So yeah. it was unfortunate for him, but it was there was no chance. We even played like a third game for fun because we were over so early, and it, same thing. It just he had no chance. Yeah. So it wasn't my deck; it was just his deck was the problem.
Yeah, there's not a lot of support for that, is it right, right. now?
Yeah. Then next, I played a control matchup, which I lost. The first match, I lost my ass like super quick. The second match, I was ahead big time. I brought out. I had the combo for starts, and then he only had five lands, so he couldn't bring out Elspeth. I had Blood Baron of Escope out, so I had lifelink, so I kept hitting him up.
Yeah.
I brought myself up to 36, and he was down to 7. Turn, I was going to hit for 10-10 with lifelink.
Yeah.
On his next turn, he had Jace on the board, and he minus 2'd to draw 3 cards or whatever, to see 3 cards.
Yeah.
He ended up pulling up Supreme Verdict exactly when he needed it.
Yeah.
So he actually pulled up 2 Supreme Verdicts. So I was like, motherfucker. So I just split it up, and he took the one of the Supreme Verdicts, and he used it right then because he had open mana. He didn't spend anything that turn.
Yeah.
So he wiped my board out, which sucked. Like, it was game. I won that match. And from that point on, I just kept top decking and kept drawing cards, and I didn't draw shit. I just draw lands, something that's not for my combo, some kind of enchantment that doesn't matter. You know, I just kept drawing bunch of bullshit, and he had 3 Elspeth tokens and 2 Mutavaults, and just kept hitting me for 7, and he brought me down from 36 to 0 with just that.
Whittle you away.
Just whittle me away. I'm like, this is, you know, and we went, like, it took, whatever, that was like 6 turns or something like that for him to do that, and 6 turns of me drawing, I didn't have shit.
Yep.
And I even had I even had Underworld's Connections on the board. I was drawing double cards, I still wasn't able to bring up anything worthwhile. If I did, he was able to counter it, so it was a rough match. Third matchup, I played against that White Weenie deck. I was close. I won that. I won that matchup. I brought out High Priest of Penance. Ooh, that guy, he's 1/1 for a white and a black. Whenever High Priest of Penis is dealt damage, you may destroy target non-land permanent. So it's perfect against like a monster's deck, some kind of with like ground creatures, like a white weenie or like an aggro or a monsters, whatever. If I block one of his shits, I get to choose any one of his non-land permanents and destroy it.
Yeah.
I ended up getting this guy out along with Gift of Immortality. So every time it dies, I would just bring it back anyway, so he could not attack in. Yeah. And if he did, I was able to kill his biggest creature, whatever I wanted, as long as it wasn't hexproof, of course. So anyways, when that shit brought, when that combo came out, they were just like, well, what do I do now? You know, I have nothing to do. Even if he fucking downfalls it or whatever, if I just sacrifice, it doesn't matter, it just comes back.
Yeah,
and he didn't have any destroy enchantment stuff.
Two
removals, so he tried that. That didn't work out. So anyways, game 3 is done. Game 4 was, let's see here. It was like a mono black core. It was like a mono black, but he also threw in some Golgari stuff in there. So a Golgari Charm and Abrupt Decay.
Yeah.
And maybe like one or the thing. What's that?
He splashed just for a few of those cards.
Just a few of those cards. But it was basically like mono black.
In the sideboard or something.
Something like that, you know. And he wasn't, I know he wasn't playing Pat Crap, but he's playing everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the first game, I won the second game, he won the third game, or third match, I should say.
Yeah.
So it was pretty close. The thing is with his deck, this Festering Newt stupid deck that nobody plays, is that every time I would pull out a Swamp and a Festering Newt, every player, including the players around me, would be like, what the fuck is he playing? And so when the matches were over, I had like a little crowd around me for every game because people didn't know what the fuck was going on. And so like I sat down for my fourth game, and the guy next to me was like, oh, so you're the guy playing the newts. And I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, oh, it's going around, dude. Like, what is up with your deck? You know? So people are excited to see this some weird deck, stuff. You know, to see it happen, and nobody ever plays that combination. And so, anyway, I lost that. So I was at 2-2, and then the fifth matchup, I played a mono green. Well, it was like a red green monsters, but it was more green. It played green, like the Colonian Hydra and stuff like that. So it was just a lot of big stuff. He played like 3 of the Xenogods and like 3 of the Nylea gods.
Mm-hmm.
So he was heavy. Like it was a delicate thing where if he didn't get his ramp, he would lose. Well, we played 2 games and he ramped perfectly for both games.
Yeah.
Where he had, I remember on turn six, he had both guards activated, a Colonian Hydra, and two ramp creatures. So he just says, I had nothing, you know, nothing worthwhile. And he had everything had trample and everything was attacking for 6+ or whatever. So
that's rough.
It was, I mean, what am I supposed to do? What is anyone supposed to do against that?
If mono green is really cool, because if you do can get that ramp or like even like the red green, like the aggro red green, if you can ramp out and get on turn and like you're, if as long as you get that ramp and you're ahead of, like, you know, on turn two, you're playing a turn three creature.
Right.
And it's just fucking, you just take the board as long as you have that curve.
He had the Xenagot out. He was able to, that was on like turn four or whatever, right? Turn five, he was, he also had the land you tap and it gives you all your devotion, what's the thing?
Nykthos.
Nykthos. He had Nykthos out too. So he was able to bring out the Xenagot on turn four or whatever. Turn five, he tapped Nykthos and he was had like 10 mana to spend. So he brought out a Colonian Hydra and the green god and he was able to give the Colonian Hydra, the haste, and double their attack. So it ended up swinging for like 16 with trample all in one turn. Plus everything else was attacking too. So he swung in for like 25 on turn five.
Wow.
I was like, who the fuck? How do you do against that? Yeah, that's not a Supreme Verdict. Like, there's no way any deck's going to win against that shit.
Exactly.
But I know that if I kept playing, if he kept playing or whatever, he would eventually have a match that he didn't have that perfect ramp, and then his deck would be all for shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was fun playing him. But, man, I was surprised. When I saw him playing the green monsters, I was like, oh, cool. I have a deck that's decent against that. A lot of removal, yada, yada.
Yeah.
No, he just had perfect. Both games we played, he had perfect draws, perfect top decking shit, you know, on turn five, he had five fucking lands and like six creatures. You know, it was perfect. His hand was empty. So, as it happened, I went 2-3, and I had a fucking great time. I'm going to keep playing this Festering Newt deck. And, I don't know. It was great, so.
Sounds good.
Anyways, we can move on now, right?
Spoilers! Get your spoilers here! You might remember from a half an episode ago.
So you mean the beginning of this episode?
That's too much math. So we were just so goddamn excited about the spoilers that we had to do a mostly spoiler cast last week.
A pre-spoiler spoiler.
All the spoilers weren't even out yet. We just had to talk about the ones that were. And so we had to do it sans Reich. Fortunately, Reich is with us today, so we can talk about the rest of the
spoilers. I thought I would grace you guys with my presence today, so.
And we appreciate it, sir. So let's hop into the spoilers. Reich.
So, first of all, if we're going to be talking about the cards that we didn't talk about on the last podcast. So if you're just tuning in now and you didn't check out our last podcast, go check it out now to get the rest of the first half of the spoilers. And right now we're just going over the second half.
Yeah, go ahead and open your web browser to Mythic Spoilers and check out the spoilers.
Follow along.
Yeah. The last time there was like 56 cards, I believe, out of the 165 that were spoiled. And they were most of the rares and most of the mythics. So we covered, just so you know, we covered basically those. The only god that wasn't out was Farika, God of Affliction. So I think we started
about
that
first. Was Athreus out?
Athreus was out that morning.
We
were able to, like, do the podcast, look at our phones, or look at the tablet or whatever, and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Look at this fucking thing. And it was, like, amazing, you know?
Yeah, I woke up, and I usually go to bed watching some streams on Twitch and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, PAX is on. And I know they do a lot of panels and streaming like that. So I turned it on to the Magic panel, because it happened to be on at that time, and I the page loaded, the stream came up, and that was like the first thing on the screen. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, man, like, that's awesome.
Like, I instantly woke up, I was all excited, and I was like, yeah, let's go do the podcast, I'm excited to talk about this.
Fuck yeah.
So, Reich, what are you excited about?
Man. Well, we're going to talk about Farika.
Yeah, we got to talk about Farika, God of
Just
crap.
Get that out of the way.
Oh,
that's
God of awful.
So we can cover all the gods.
Yeah.
That can be done.
So Farika's a god. Anyways.
that's about it. She's a god. Or he's a god. I don't even know what it is. It's god.
So I think Farika, okay, first of all, it's only three mianas. It's one black and a green for, obviously, like all the gods.
A legendary
enchantment creature god, indestructible. As long as you have devotion to black and green, lesson 7, Farika isn't a creature. And it's an activated ability. You pay a black and a green. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Its owner puts a 1/1 black and green snake enchantment creature token with death touch on the battlefield.
Why its owner? Why? How dare you? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's only a 1/1 death touch. Just give me all of them.
I think, well, if they... Bastards. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this card. Like, I think it's, like, okay, but I think it could have been better. But I think if it would have been... If you exile a target creature from anyone's graveyard and you get that 1/1, I think that might have been a little too powerful.
Well, I mean, look at, like, all some of the other gods. You know, they're, like, bonkers, and then they, like, have to nerf some of them so hard.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because I was hoping for the green-black or the Golgari god to be actually, like, a thing, but...
So like this god fits into a real niche deck, which is the Reanimator deck. Basically, if you, like, mill yourself away one of your mana dorks or, like, a Satyr Wayfinder that you don't need anymore, you can just, you know, get him out of your graveyard and put a decent, you know, defender on the ground. Other than that, I don't see why you would play this card.
Well, what I see, it's feeling, it's like it's a niche role, but we have to think about, okay, so what's rotating out that Farika is going to replace? Scavenging Ooze, Rest in Peace. All the good, like, graveyard hate cards are rotating out. I think this is, like, the first step into, like, introducing the new graveyard hate, because I do feel like the graveyard is going to become more of a thing moving forward into M15, into the next set. So they need to have ways to hate on the graveyard so that you're not screwed and you can't interact with that type of strategy. Mm. Especially like the Reanimator decks and things like that. You know, have the Seta Wayfinder. You have, one of the new cards we'll talk about too, you know, mills yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So you can get those fatty creatures into the graveyard and then you can use like your Rescue from the Underworld or something like that. Obviously, that aid's obviously rotating out, but that's another one you can use for now until it does. So I think that's what they're slowly moving into, because like I said, Scavenging Ooze and Rest in Peace, like your two main graveyard hate guys, like, even Scavenging Ooze, just, it's a beast on its own, and Rest in Peace sees play in every format, so, like, I think that's where they're trying to go, and yeah, I agree that the owner getting the 1/1 stake kind of sucks, but, you know, there's a lot of ways to deal with a 1/1. So
I'm gonna be sad once.
I will say it could be a little too overpowered if you could just keep like bringing out 2 to 3 1/1 death touches every single turn and just ride that like a pack rat train.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty shitty.
Yeah, I would just completely stonewall like aggro or.
It's too conditional. Like pack rat, you have pack rat out, you go to town. This. You need creatures in the graveyard, whether it's your graveyard or
you
their
need
graveyard.
To die.
So yeah, you need to set it up. And then, you know, you're paying a green and a black for 1/1 death touch.
Because, yeah, like turn 4, like how many creatures you're going to have in the graveyard?
Exactly.
Maybe one on both sides. So
that's
true. Like,
that doesn't do anything against trample or flying, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. Like one thing it does play into that's really good is that they are enchantment creatures. So we have a new mechanic in this set, which is Constellation. So I do see it playing well with that mechanic.
I'd pick it up in limited for sure. But.
Yeah, I mean it. But the whole thing is, like I see, is like it takes too long to get that kind of combo going, and it doesn't really provide much. So you know, it seems kind of awkward right now, the card. But you know, we still have a lot of stuff to go through M15 in the new set to see what we can what support she can have. So.
Yeah, and I think the card that I'm most mad about so far that I've seen is fucking Master of the Feast. So Master of the Feast is an enchantment creature demon, right? It's a mouthful. It's 2 black and 1 colorless mana, and it's a fucking 5/5 flying demon, and it says at the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent draws a card, which is, I mean, that's cool that each opponent draws a card, but I don't think that's a big enough downside.
It's Desecration Demon's little brother.
Yeah, 3 mana, 5/5. Turn 3, you're putting out a 5/5.
Flyer.
With the only downside is that your opponent gets to draw a card, like, big deal.
Yeah.
And then fucking turn 4, all Mr. Desi Demon's coming out. And just like, oh, I'm a 6/6 for 4. Like, this is, I mean, I don't like this card at all.
I think it's awesome. I know.
This card is just awesome. Fucking good. But,
it is.
Yeah, I hate black.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so mad that, oh, God, black's getting even more ammunition. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just give mono black some more good stuff.
Same thing with, if you, later on, there's going to be, like, discard decks out there. So who cares? Oh, draw a card? Well, I'm going to make you discard a card. Who cares, you know?
It's like, whoa, what's Night Vale Spectre? He's 3 mana, too, right?
Yeah,
and he's a 2/3. And it's, oh, no, fuck Night Vale Spectre. Let's just get goddamn Master of Feast out there for a 5/5. Like, how are you going to deal with this? As a red-green monster, I'm thinking, like, well, fuck.
There are other cards that, like...
You have to start running, like, Deadly Recluse.
Yeah, I need something.
There's that one card that gives out, like, it gives a haste and intimidate to target creature or whatever. There's that other one. It's like a 1/3.
Marauder.
Yeah, like, shit like that. Yeah. Teaming up with this, and then you get to, like, haste in for the 5. I mean, there's other ways to get around it, and that'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
To see this thing hit with haste.
One thing, like, going back to the Night Vale versus this guy and Desecration Demon and the whole mono black devotion thing is that I'm thrown off that there's no hybrid mana costs in this set. We see all the devotion decks now. They run, like, Night Vale Spectre because it provides 3 devotion and it runs in the top 2 devotion decks, mono blue, mono black. But there's no hybrid casting costs in this set, which is kind of weird because...
what do you mean by hybrid casting costs?
Hybrid meaning you can pay... So there's a cost, you have to pay, like, 2 or 3 mana, and you can pay either blue or black. So, like, Night Vale Spectre has a hybrid mana cost where you can... It's 3 blue or black. So, and you can do any combination of you know, the 2 colors in there, which, you know, provides... It plays right into devotion very nicely because, like, how many cards that have 3 colored mana symbols in their casting costs? There are not many, any in this set. So, you know, seeing Night Vale Spectre going is going to hurt the devotion decks, I think, a lot. But I think they're giving them different ways to attack the board rather than just going straight devotion, which is Master of Feast, pretty much. So.
He is definitely going in my discard.
God, Master of Feast. I'm so mad.
So sick.
I look at these spoilers, and when I evaluate cards on the spoilers, I just like thinking, how badly is this going to fuck red green over right now? And it's just like Master of Feast is like, oh well, there it is.
Yeah, you got a 4/4 for 5 mana and Stormbreath Dragon, and mono black gets 5/5 for 3.
Yeah,
it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And that's since mono black is taking it so hard these days,
I know. I mean, mono black is beat down so bad. They're trying to throw him a bone, you know, like, oh, mono black, I know you're just top tier, just number one. Dude, like just throw you a little bone.
At TCG Player, it shows like the deck lists, what's top and how many top 8s that deck has done. And mono black devotion is double what's in second place.
Nice.
Like it is dominating still.
So speaking of mono black, I don't know if this is gonna be played. But I'm just excited for it. It's the Black Dictate, Dictate of Erebos. It's a 3 black enchantment.
I'm excited.
Flash. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. Wasn't there one like this before?
Yes, it's an older card.
It was like 3 mana.
It costs like 1 less, I think.
Yeah,
I think
it was 4 mana, I believe.
It was
on Duel of the Planeswalker, I remember, playing in the zombie deck.
Yeah,
I can't think of the name of it, though.
Didn't have Flash, though.
Didn't have Flash.
I think that's why they made it cost one more.
This is sweet.
Grave Pact is the card. One in triple black enchantment, whatever creature you control is put in the graveyard from play, each other player sacrifices a creature.
Sweet!
So, you know, if you're going to play like an older format or like Grab Bag Grash or something like that, you get a Grave Pact and you get the Ticket of Erebos, like, good luck. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Dictate.
Yeah, I mean, just like, especially I think it plays really well.
into a lot of what mono black wants to do.
Yeah, I think
any black deck pretty much.
I think black got some good cards. White also really got some nice cards that spoiled so far.
Fuck yeah, they
did. I'm calling it right now and saying white's the best color.
Like white is just set. I think they're just getting all the good toys right now. Like they got Deicide, which is a white mana, one colorless, so it's two mana in total, and it's pretty much like a god Doomblade or an enchantment Doomblade. So it says exile target enchantment. If the exile card is a god card, search his controller's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards of the same name, and that card and with the same name as that card, and exile them, and then that player shuffle his or her library. So not only you can kill a god, but you get rid of all the gods out of their hand and their library, which is just stupid crazy.
And one line of play that I didn't see, I heard from somebody else, is so say they play a Scryland, and they keep something on top, you can Deicide something and have them shuffle that top card away. So it's like, if you're going to use it anyways, there's an enchantment on the board that you want to take care of, and you can wait to hold off till they scry. And so they're like, oh, okay, so they're in a spot where they have like a couple outs, and they put a card on top like right away. You're just like, okay,
I want to shuffle that out.
That's the out they want. I need to take care of this threat anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to fire it off right now. And so, you know, you can shuffle that way.
It's going to be so good and limited. It's going to be able to hit everything. Like a lot of the creatures in this set are going to be enchantment creatures, and there's going to be a ton of enchantment. It's like all the synergy is revolving around enchantments, enchantments or enchantment creatures.
Dude, this card lets you look at their library too.
And
if you don't know what you're playing, you get to get all the information from their hand.
If it's a god card,
They could have one guard on the board, or whatever, and they could be like, "Oh, I'm not playing any other gods." Be like, "I don't care. I'm still gonna look at your shit.
I'm not looking
for anything. I'm just gonna look through it.
Yep.
See what you got going on, and then you're gonna shuffle that shit, and I'm gonna be semi ready for it.
I think it's bonkers. It's two mana.
Two mana, instant, dude. Come on.
Yeah, it's an issue. Yeah. So it's
two way mana better in a set with raw walls around gods.
It is definitely way better than Revoke Existence. Because this is instant, where Revoke Existence is sorcery. You know, Revoke Existence can hit artifacts, but right now, what kind of artifacts are we looking to hit? Pithy Needle, Elixir, and there's plenty of ways to deal with those anyway. Later on we'll go into some of the artifacts and equipment that's coming out in the journey, because I want to touch on some of those. I think they're really strong. You might have a one revoke in the sideboard now because, you know, you want to hit these artifacts if they see a lot of play. But I think that Deicide is going to just take it over.
I think it's the art that makes me the most mad.
I'll do a foil version of this.
It's fucking art.
It's going to look cool, yeah.
Fucking Elspeth stabbing my Lord and Savior, gentlemen.
That's right. All praise Elspeth.
It is done.
Yeah, it is done, sir.
It's the flavor text. It's great.
Yeah, that one's crazy. And then another white one, they're getting an O-ring reprint.
Oh, yes. So good.
Oblivion Ring, which I think it's called Banishing Light. It's three mana, two colors, one white. And it says, when Banishing Light enters the battlefield, exile, target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Banishing Light leaves the battlefield. So it is just Oblivion Ring, but not Oblivion Ring.
So sick, though.
But now people play Modern, they have, you know, if they want to run eight Oblivion Rings, they can run eight Oblivion Rings. So that's kind of
cool. Seriously. Yeah, that but, and then the what is it? The blue white one that they have right now.
The detention sphere.
So it's kind of like that, but you don't have splash blue.
Yeah.
That's sweet. I mean, it's not quite as strong, but in most cases, it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're trading off, you know, power for being able to splash this in a lot of other decks. Because, you know, the blue white restriction is just, you know, you have to be playing Azorius, so you're most likely playing control. You know, there's only one deck I ever seen that ran Detention Sphere, and that was the Blue-White Devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a lot more splashable. I see this as, we're talking about Oblivion Ring and Modern. They had to change the template of the wording, so you can't do any crazy blinking out shenanigans and exiling like one card for good and then like exiling another card because it comes back into play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the older formats, Oblivion Ring is still going to see more play just because you have those lines of play open to you. But this could be like Oblivion Ring like 5 and 6 in those decks, you know, because it's so good. You know, this type of effect is always, you know, a powerhouse pretty much.
Hell yeah.
So, It kind of loses some of its value because they did bring a lot of enchantment hate this time around in Theros block because it's solely an enchantment based set, but you know, it's still gonna see tons of play. Mm-hmm.
Dude, Black finally got a decent heroic creature.
Oh, which one is that one?
Blood Craze Hoplite for one and a black.
That guy.
Gentleman. It's a 2/1. He has heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Blood Craze Hoplite, put a 1/1 counter on it. Whenever a 1/1 counter is placed on Blood Crazed Hoplite, Jesus, remove a 1/1 counter from target creature and opponent controls.
Yes.
Not too shabby. I mean, I'm a fan of Agent of Fates, but I mean, this is pretty fucking awesome, too.
This guy curves right into Agent of Fates, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
This guy, Agent of Fates, it's a good heroic strategy hoser. Like, you know, you can have, like, this guy out. They play a Wingsteam Rider, try to, like, you know, God's willing their guy, and then you just heroic enable your guy, and then you remove that counter from it. So it's kind of like trying to keep the white blue heroic decks down, pretty much. You know, especially since Black, it wasn't a really strong heroic.
That was the worst heroic color.
I think this will bring it up on par with the rest of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cards coming out. There's a lot of good commons and uncommons, but
speaking of uncommons, Hot Sauce, Felhide, Petrifier,
Petrifier. Yeah, the Minotaur, Death Touch Minotaur, all Minotaur creatures you control have Death Touch.
It's 2/3 for 3.
2/3 for 3.
Not too shabby.
Isn't there a bunch of 3-drops already for a Minotaur?
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
Like, that's like the 20th 3-drop for a Minotaur.
Pretty much.
But still, you're definitely putting at least like one or two. I'd probably throw two, yeah.
There's a lot of options now, and it's still not... I don't feel like the deck is still going to be top tier, but I'm excited.
I think it's going to be better than like the Slivers deck in M14.
I think so too. Yeah. Slivers was just a joke. That was I think those cards were not Slivers when they made them, but then they're like, "Oh, we're just gonna bring Slivers back."
Yeah, get people excited.
Turn them into Slivers.
It's exciting though for a casual player. I mean, it is a good time playing with it, but I understand that it's not gonna win you anything.
Just the fact that like they're all in 5 colors, and you'd have to like go 3 or 4 colors just to have a good Sliver selection. Like just taxing the mana base like that is just too hard.
Yeah,
like,
that's why
inconsistent.
I bought those Chromatic Lanterns because of that deck. I had 3 of those in there. And then I was able to play every color, but still it's vulnerable. If that thing gets destroyed or if I can't find it, then I have cards in my hand that I can't fucking play, you know? Yep. So it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I'm just looking through all like the, if you just kind of go through all these uncommons and everything, there's just too many to go through, but I mean, if you're just looking through them, it makes me want to just get Limited going like right now. I just can't wait to
really
start drafting this.
Dude,
this
I can't wait
so
for
so much
the,
better than Board
I,
of the Gods.
I can't wait for the pre-release, like that's, because it's sealed.
What are you guys going to choose? What color?
I think I'm going black.
If I make it to this pre-release, I'm going white, I think.
White looks like the best color, but
I think everyone's
going to
go white, though.
I'm a sucker for black, you know? Like, I'm just everything in here. And
just like it black.
I like it black. I like my cards like I like my coffee. Hot.
Hot and expensive.
Hot and expensive. No, but, I mean, black's in Theros and... kind of in Born of the Gods, you know, black is still pretty decent. So I think adding this, you know, black gets a good early drop with Farika's Chosen. It's a 1/1 for 1 Death Touch. So that's definitely needed for like the black blue or, you know, black X decks.
Justin, you go white?
Huh?
Would you go white?
Yeah, I'm going white. Even though I like blue.
Quickness?
Yeah, even though I like blue as my favorite color, I think in this set, white, it's just too good to pass
up.
Yeah,
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You guys better get there early. White's going to be hit up. White's going to be a whore.
Gone. But yeah, if I can make it, I'd go white, but blue has some cool stuff, but I just feel like white is just so much better right now.
All right, what do you guys think about this card? Skybind. It's an enchantment for 3 colorless and 2 white. I will read it right now. It's an enchantment, just board enchantment, with Constellation. Whenever Skybind or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, exile target non-enchantment permanent. Mm. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. What do you guys think of that card? What do you think it could work for? It's a bounce spell for something that's non-enchantment, any permanent. So if you have, I'm thinking like, you have an enter the battlefield effect. You can do it to yourself and keep bringing shit back in and keep doing the combo. Also, you can take out one of their guys if it's being a bother. You can go ahead and
like enter combat up or heroic something. Yeah. You can
go ahead and just bounce it or whatever.
Is Ashen Rider an enchantment or is that
not an enchantment? So you can go ahead and bounce that too.
Yeah,
it won't trigger the second effect because it's not dying.
Leave. Yeah, that's true.
But it'll trigger the first one again, so you'll be able to exile target permanent again. There's all kinds of shit like that. It's an interesting card. I'm seeing what people were going
to
use it for.
I was trying to go through like all the sets and like try to find all the good and the battlefield effect creatures and stuff like that. Like the thing that I was running into a problem with is that you run out of just enchantments to play because you get to a point where you're just playing enchantments just for the effect.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know how we were talking about like Farika. Like Farika, you could play like a junk deck with Farika in this card. And then you just exile a bunch of stuff from your graveyard and then keep bouncing stuff with the battlefield effect. So that's one reliable way to keep producing the effect. But, you run into a problem where you can't put – you either have to run a lot of enchantments to abuse the effect or you run into a problem where you're just playing, like, some crappy enchantments, you know, a couple of them here or there. And you don't like have enough creatures or you have like too many creatures and not enough enchantments to abuse the effect. So it's kind of in that weird state right now where it's kind of showing that it could be a powerhouse and it's kind of, you know, really showing its vulnerabilities to a lot of other strategies.
Right. So. I thought it was an interesting reading card.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely
gotta be something there.
Commander or modern maybe you can take over. But I feel like it can do – it's, you know, it's very flexible. It's
positioned to take over pretty much. It's just you need a couple other cards to get there.
Best art of the whole set, Riptide Chimera.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous shit.
Just go and look it up. It is a flying shark eel.
It is.
That's putting it lightly.
It's like the weirdest fucking thing ever.
I remember
with red eyes.
Yeah, I remember when I saw it. I immediately texted you guys and was like, oh my God.
I look at the flavor text. Cure's like, I want one. I want a double shark-headed flying whatever monstrosity.
Oh my God.
So sick.
It's just a random shark head, dude. It totally looks like it doesn't fit. Like...
So this guy, just because, it's two colorless and a blue, it's an enchantment creature, Chimera, flying at the beginning of your upkeep, return an enchantment you control to its owner's hand, and it's a 3/4. So, I mean, I think for limited it'd be fun if you had something to, like, bounce this thing back and forth and keep the same thing, bring it back.
Oh, yeah, if you have, one of those, you know, enchantment, two drops that draws you a card or whatever.
Some crap like that, right.
Cantrip ones.
That'd be funny, but it's stupid.
It just reminds me of like a Sharknado.
That's exactly what I thought.
Sharknado, dude.
It's just like a crappy sci-fi movie, like fucking art.
Oh, imagine them drawing this up there. They're like laughing at you. They're like, look at what we do.
Hold on, this eel head. We need a shark coming out of this side.
Yeah.
Can we get a shark in there?
Oh wait, we got one shark head. You know what? Fucking two shark heads.
Oh God! Abomination!
Look at that ass on Spiteful Blow, though. Woo!
What is this? What's Spiteful Blow?
It's a 4BB destroy target creature and target land. But look at that ass! I mean, that is sexy.
Look at this right here.
Look at that!
Oh my God!
Look at that ass!
That butt.
That's not a butt. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh,
get out of here. I was looking up and down. I'm like, what butt are you guys talking about?
Where the ass is
it? Got it.
No, it's a fist, but it looks the way the art is, it looks like this ass is just blowing out ass. It was flying everywhere.
Let out a fart of the gods.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
One card I wanted to talk about is Ass's Ire or something like that. It's an enchantment for single blue. And you pay – it has an activated ability. You pay 3 and a blue, and you may tap or untap target creature. So I think it's going to be good and limited. I saw a combo somebody brought up with Blue Devotion. And,
is it the inspired stuff?
No. What happens, you just play, like, normal Blue Devotion enablers. So, you know, you have, like, Judge's Familiar, Frostborn Weird and stuff like that. And then what you do is you play this enchantment plus Kiora's Follower. And then what you do is you have Nykthos. So what you do is you tap Nykthos for a bunch of mana with Devotion.
Right.
Use Kiora's Follower to untap Nykthos.
Tap it again.
And then you tap it again, and then you see the enchantment to untap Kiora's Follower. And then you can tap Nykthos, or you tap Kiora's Follower to untap Nykthos. And it's just like an infinite mana loop. You're just constantly, creating a bunch of mana.
Well, isn't it done then?
Huh?
If you use Kiora's, after you just said, if you use Kiora's Follower, tap Kiora's Follower to untap Nykthos.
Well,
isn't that the end of it?
But no, this doesn't tap.
You're floating.
Oh, that doesn't tap. I thought that'd be enchantment.
As long as you pay the 4 mana.
Oh, so it isn't tap. Exactly. Okay.
So you're floating mana, so you're always going to have enough mana. So, like, I was thinking of going, like, Simic, and then you can have, like, the Simic God in there where you can store all the mana you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can also play the Hydra Brewmaster, put out, like, a shit ton of guys.
Is there a card that you can just draw cards by paying mana? Like, is there a way that without tapping something, if you just like, can it, is there a card that says like pay four, draw a card, or anything like that?
Sphinx's Revelation.
No, but you need an activated ability like Erebos. Like,
well, Erebos, you're eventually gonna reach a point where you can't pay any more life.
Kill your, yeah,
no, that's fine. That's what I mean. Without paying,
no,
life. What else is there besides Erebos that maybe that could work with too?
I don't think anything in Limited or Standard. Maybe something in like Legacy, but that seems like a super broken.
That's what I'm saying. If you can pump out unlimited mana,
you gotta,
and you can draw as many cards as you care to.
Yeah,
and then that's it.
That, or you can have a Nylea, the God out, and you can just pump all your guys, something like that.
That's good too. Yeah,
Nylea. You gotta find like really good mana sinks, and then I think that's
the way to do it. See, that's cool. That's a nice little combo.
That it fits well with the Simic God, and then you have Kiora. And then, you're playing blue, so you have a lot of good disruption and draw cards, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You have the green side for really big creatures and stuff. So, it could be a thing.
That's cool. No, that's really interesting.
You know what this card is really good for? Heroic and Inspired.
Yep.
Because it targets the creature. So if it's heroic,
it doesn't. Because it's you can't that way.
The heroic doesn't trigger from.
Oh, yeah, it's casting.
Yeah. It will be Inspired. But, there was one thing. There was, like, only 13 Inspired creatures in all Born of the Gods.
Okay.
So, and I don't really see many in Journey.
Mm-hmm.
So Inspire seems like one of the things that they wanted to do, but they couldn't really get it to work right, so they kind of just let it
then,
go.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
King Makar!
We talked about the last time.
The golden! Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, that's like the best. King one Midas. Of the best ones.
King Midas.
They got the Midas.
Yeah, that guy with Springleaf from, oh man.
Yeah.
You
get two mana, and you get to exile a creature.
Or Hands of Binding.
Yeah, I can do that too.
Tap and untap.
But yeah, the flavor of this whole set is just like dripping with good stuff. I love it. I love all of the art, and I love all the little flavor text, and it's just so good.
Yeah, it's getting really good.
But,
we have Invisible Stalker back on the field.
No, I know.
It's a Triton Shore Stalker. It's a 1 blue for a 1/1, and Triton Shore Stalker can't be blocked.
Yeah, so the fucking art's the best too. It's like he just like comes sneaking up behind this dude, just like fishing.
Loading up his boat, like I'm gonna go make my daily's wage and stuff like that, and he just dies.
Stupid nice. Mermans.
Yeah, so you could put God's End on it. You could put like just to get the +3/+3 because that's really relevant. You have a 4/4 unblockable. So you're putting a big clock on him. And you can put like a bunch of other equipment on it. I think it's gonna be really good.
Nice.
Don't we have some big news that we should announce to everybody?
We do have big news. Ba-ba-da-ba! We actually have our fucking website up that we've been talking about for the past 5.5 episodes. So check us out, iflandscouldkill.com.
Can you believe that the domain wasn't taken?
I know, right? It's so popular.
I know, right?
So right now we just have like the YouTube videos on there. Eventually we're going to have it so you can just download our episodes straight from there. It's still a work in progress, but we came through. We actually fucking said it, and then we did it, and then look it up.
So Quickness is our website person, website manager, whatever you want to call it. So he's the one that's been taking care of it. It's been pretty awesome. I mean, it's
looks slick. Good.
I'm excited. Really good. I'm excited.
We have that. We'd appreciate it if everyone could check out the site. That'd be cool. Let us know what you guys think, what you guys want to see on it. But for starts, just likes on Facebook and fucking follow us on Twitter and
maybe
leave a comment on iTunes. Just stuff to pump us up and get us out there, and other people can stumble upon us and see that, you know, oh, this people are liking us, you know, people are enjoying what they're here listening to, and so why don't I give it a listen, you know what I mean? So if we don't have a lot of numbers out there, then it might stop some people from even checking us out. Yeah. It's a possibility. So
if you like us, you know, say something. If you don't like us, say something.
Yeah, same thing. Exactly. Yeah.
So what I was going to do is once I get back home, we'll leave after done with the podcast, I'll put up a little link on the main site that says, like, contact us or something. So that if you have any questions, comments, you want us to talk about something, or you want to know what to do in a certain situation, or what about a brew or something, you can send us an email, and we'll touch on a podcast. We'll update the site to reflect whatever you guys need and things like that. So I'll get that up by today for sure, so that people can start emailing us with concerns.
Get our own email addresses for each person. Yeah. We can do that eventually.
Eventually, yeah. Cool. That'll be set.
But I would like to have a business card with hot sauce at if I have to collect.
Dude, what is this on the show notes? Dick
jokes?
Oh, dick jokes.
Oh yeah, that's important. That's our new segment.
Yeah, introducing a new segment.
Dick jokes.
The hardest dick jokes, you know.
Yeah. There's so many dick jokes running through my head right now. Dicks. So let's hop into our actual new segment, newest installment of Noob's Knowledge. Noob's Knowledge. This week we're going to be talking about, basic keywords on cards.
I think we'll touch on like two of them.
To
go over.
Yeah, it'll be like in installments. We'll go as much as we can. We're going to pretty much go over a lot of the ins and outs of how to play Magic, pretty much, like the keywords. Eventually, we'll go over stack, phases, lines of play.
So, which ones do you guys want to tackle today?
I think we should definitely touch on Lifelink, because that's a really big one that you see a lot. It's pretty much really prevalent in like all the formats.
Maybe like Lifelink, Trample. Death Touch, maybe, because those are like, especially with beginners and new players and things like that, it's some of the things they're kind of drawn to. Lifelink, oh, my creature, whenever it attacks or blocks, I get life back? Yeah, hell yeah, I want that. Or, you know, oh, it's a 1/1, but it has Death Touch, and it can kill any creature at once, pretty much, as long as it can block it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think those ones are really geared, or not geared, but beginners and new players and things like that are more attracted to.
Yeah, right? I think Trample's like kind of the one I feel that's mostly kind of you can run into issues where you think it makes sense, but the way it plays out, people may not understand exactly how it works.
And it's like some of this stuff is like we just figured out like a couple weeks ago, you know, like right. Oh yeah, that does do that and that and that. So let's
Trample?
Yeah, let's use Trample. So Trample is pretty much, it just means whenever you deal damage and a creature blocks that damage, the leftover damage is carried through. So say I have a 4/4 Trampler creature, and someone blocks me with a 1/1 just a chump blocker, just, you know, a token or something like that. Essentially all that means is when they fight and the defender throws himself in front of the trampler guy, you have to assign enough damage to kill the guy that's standing in front of your guy or your creature.
Yeah, you always have to assign lethal.
Yeah, you always have to have enough damage to kill the blocking creature, but whatever damage is left over that was not used to kill that creature follows through to the either the planeswalker or the player, the target player. So that's the saying I think that a lot of the Magic people say is creatures always... if you think they're attacking, like punching another creature, they always follow through with their attacks. They don't hold their attacks back, so they always punch and follow through. So
they always deal all their attacking damage.
Yeah. Right? So
regardless
say,
of the situation.
Yeah. So say you know how a chump blocker can block a 4/4 non trampler, because the creature will always attack with all four of his power, and it, all of it goes into that creature. But the trample essentially says that you can only just do one damage to him, and the rest will always flow through to the player, all the rest of the damage, rather.
So also, I mean, that was a perfect description of Trample. I did not know this until, I don't know, a couple months ago, that if you have a creature with Trample and Death Touch, like Reich was saying, you deal damage enough to kill the creature and the rest goes through. So if you have Death Touch, you only need to do one damage to whatever, like, let's say they triple block your guy because they want to kill it, mm-hmm. you know? All you have to do is one damage to each creature, one damage to the first one, one damage to the second one, because you have fucking Death Touch.
Yeah.
And the rest flows through to the player or the planeswalker.
That's why that word assign is so important when mm-hmm. you say
yeah.
you, would, damage you could assigned. Want it a lot simpler than that, but using the word assign will make sure that the listener or whatever is aware that you assign one damage to this thing and the rest goes through. You know what I mean? You,
right.
you can pick and choose rather than just it absorbing any number that its toughness mm-hmm. is. So.
And Trample does go through protection, I believe. It does Trample through protection.
Yeah. Right, you only protect for whatever yeah. the creature's
toughness
is.
You still have to assign lethal
yeah.
to the creature.
Yeah.
You always have to assign lethal for Trample to go through, but if it has protection, you can still Trample
still
over.
Go through.
Right, right, right. So you can attack him with your 4-4. He has a 2-2 with protection from your color. You have to assign 2 to that creature, and then the other 2 can Trample past it.
Yeah.
Now that
even though that 2 damage would
yeah, that damage was prevented to it, but you still have to assign that damage.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It doesn't prevent damage going through at all, which is a misconception that we had before, is that
yeah,
if
yeah.
we attacked with our 4-4 and it had protection, that just means that the damage was completely stopped, which is not true.
Yeah, yeah.
It only stopped that 2 damage. It only stopped its toughness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things. The other thing I remember... Well, let's see. I was thinking about the Pelucranos with his monstrosity. This goes more into Death Touch.
Oh,
but
yeah, yeah.
you're allowed to assign, because you only need to pick one. You only need to have one damage to go through to kill something or whatever. So you're able to monstrosity Pelucranos with his ability and go ahead and just assign one damage. It can fight everything, just one damage, and kill the whole
thing. As long as it has
we're talking
death
about
touch.
Pelucranos
with
and the
bow
and Ilea. Yeah,
right.
exactly.
Or so some other way to
you
make
have to make
touch.
Sure Pelucranos is attacking first,
yep.
and then you can monstrous it, and then assign one damage
right.
to each thing in front of it, each thing on the board, and then it kills it. And then,
right.
You know,
you can do monstrosity at instant speed.
Yep.
So after you declare attackers, then you go, all right, before you declare blockers or whatever step you wanted to, I'm going to go ahead and monstrosity this guy out for whatever. For
yeah.
I'm going to tap, let's say I'm going to tap 7 mana, so that means it can give me 3 to distribute. And then you go ahead and just be like, 1, 2, 3, that's it.
Yeah.
And that'll wipe out their shit. As long
or
as
you can
not
even distribute anything to, you don't have to deal damage. Like a lot of times people don't know that monstrosity for Pelucranos.
Right.
You don't actually, when you monstrosity him, if you don't want to assign any damage to any creature, you don't have to.
You just
to.
Want to pump him up.
Yeah,
bigger,
you just want
right.
to make him bigger. You don't have to assign
you may,
damage.
You
yeah,
may
the keyword is you may assign combat or, you know.
So that went under the death touch thing.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of skipping ahead. But it is something that I just thought of right now that Quickness was telling me a few months back that I was like, oh, shit, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it works. It comes about, like, decently. It comes
yeah.
about pretty often if you're playing a mono-green strategy. So
exactly.
So what else about Trample?
Yeah, is anybody else having Trample before we move on to Death Touch, since we've been talking about Death Touch
yeah.
a little bit with Trample, since they do kind of combo well
yeah,
with each other?
Yeah, same thing is that if you have Trample, like, and they have a... You're attacking with your 4-4 with Trample, and they have a 1-1 with Death Touch, like... 3 damage is going to go through, and 1's going to hit theirs, but you're still going to die. You know,
yeah.
it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm sure you can, you guys know that, but that's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just going to briefly touch over these because they're kind of self-explanatory. We just want to make sure everybody has like a firm grasp on the keyword.
Especially like with the corner cases that we're talking
yeah,
about.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, some people don't know. I didn't fucking know until I heard, you know, somewhere about the Death Touch and Trample. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense,
yeah.
but my... Yeah,
you just don't think of that.
Yeah,
that
I didn't
yeah.
intuitively know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's what makes Magic great. You know, there's so many little ins and outs and little lines of play you can make, and, you know, they make it so they word it, so, you know, these things are available
mm.
to people
right.
to do, so that's why it's so great. But, yeah, if anybody else has anything on to say on Trample, I guess we should move on to Death Touch.
Yeah, let's talk about Death Touch.
Death Touch! So Death Touch is any...
It says any amount of damage this deals to a creature is enough to destroy it.
Yep.
So it could be 1 damage, it could be 20 damage,
yeah.
you know, it just all has, as long as one, at least
it,
1 point of damage is applied
and
to.
And it says damage, not combat damage.
Yeah.
So things that make creatures fight
Fall of the Hammer, Domri.
Exactly. Like
Pit Bite. Right, Pit right, Bite. Right.
Mm-hmm. They will... It will deal its Death Touch damage and kill whatever it is.
But if you have a card that says prevent combat damage or something like that, some kind of fog, some kind of the protection, all that stuff, it's never able to do that damage, so that means it'll never kill
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know if, I mean? Exactly. If you can prevent the damage or put its attack 0 or under, like if you were to put some sort of...
So say you have like a 4-4 Death Toucher, mm-hmm. and you bile... or you say, no, it's you have a 3-3 Death Toucher, and you bile blight it. Now it goes down to or like a 3-4 or whatever.
3-4, right. So it's still alive, but it's a zero power.
So it's a 0-1, so it's never dealing any damage, so it can't kill anything.
Exactly. You know? It still might be attacking, but it's not dealing any damage.
It's like trying to bite a wall. You just can't do it.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking of. It's a perfect example. Right?
Perfect analogy.
One thing I wanted to bring up, because it says it destroys it. So it's really relevant to know, and especially in this set, since we have a lot of indestructible stuff.
Yep.
That Death Touch does not kill an indestructible creature, because it says destroy, and indestructible prevents anything that destroys it. So that's one thing to look out for. That Death Touch is great because it kills pretty much everything, but if it has protection or
another thing to look for is first strike.
First strike too.
A creature, if you're gonna go up against a creature or slash attacking double strike, you, yeah, exactly. First strike, double strike. So we'll probably talk about that too. But first strike is it's two different kinds of two different phases of damage. So when a creature with first strike, when it attacks or when it has combat or whatever, it'll apply that first strike damage first, and then it'll move on to the second phase of damage where they both attack each other or whatever, however it goes. Anyway, so
we're going more into that. But
But the Death Touch thing is important, because if you have a Death Touch guy and he has a first strike guy, don't go try to chump block him thinking that you're going to kill his ass. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
He's going to hit you for that whatever his damage is first, and you'll never be able to apply your damage. You'll be dead. That creature will be dead before that thing's able to
before normal combat damage applies.
Yeah. So.
So, move on to Lifelink.
Lifelink.
Well, can any of you guys think of any other corner cases with Death Touch, where it works, doesn't work, any other?
It doesn't. If you attack a Planeswalker, the Planeswalker doesn't die, it just takes the damage.
Yes, exactly.
So it won't just automatically kill the Planeswalker.
Yep, not a creature.
Yep, not a creature.
Mm-hmm. Just loyalty counters.
And if a Death Touch creature actually does damage to you, you won't automatically die.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Lifelink. Let's go. Where's the description at? Where's it at?
Okay, Lifelink. I don't have the description.
Lifelink, it's like whatever combat damage you deal to a creature or player.
You gain that much.
Or
Planeswalker.
Damage dealt.
It doesn't matter the target. As long as one of your creatures dealt damage with Lifelink, you get that life back.
So let's say
it happens instantaneously. As soon as that damage is dealt, you instantaneously gain that life.
At the same time as, whatever life that person was to lose, they would also, you'd also gain it at the same moment, not in a stack effect.
Yeah. So let's say you have a 4-4 with Lifelink and you're attacking, and your opponent blocks with a 2-2. Your creature, like just with Trample, is going to do all of its damage to the 2-2. So it's going to,
they always follow through with their punches.
Always follow through. So even though it's only the defending creature only has 2 toughness, it doesn't matter because it's still taking 4 damage. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be gaining 4 life because it's doing all of its damage. And it's very important because I, up until like 2 weeks...
4 hours ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks...
until right this moment.
Yeah.
Up until like a month ago or something, which is horrible. I should have known this. I blame Duels of the Planeswalker for misinforming me. But did we talk about this last episode?
I don't know. But we... Did we? Let's talk about it.
Okay, so... let's say you have one life left, and your opponent is attacking with 2 1-1s, and you're going to be blocking with a 2-2 with Lifelink.
Right.
So you block one of the 1-1s, and the other 1-1 gets through. So this happens all instantaneously, that you take the one damage. So you would be at zero, but the lifelink kicks off from your lifelink creature at the same time, so you go up to two.
And so when it's all done, it's said and done, you're not dead and you're at two life.
You never actually went to zero, you're at two. Yeah. And that's something.
You're at one. Because it still takes that two away. I mean, you gain. Oh, you're
at. If you're no, at
oh,
one.
Oh, you're at one. Right.
If you're at one, yeah, you take one, you gain two. So
you're at two life.
And Duels of the Planeswalker doesn't do that. It's like if you take damage, it doesn't matter if
you. It's like a stack ability or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. So fuck you, Duels of the Planeswalker. so, I mean, that's my little spiel on lifelink.
I would say one thing I've learned is that when you gain life off of lifelink, and you have that creature also has double strike, where it has two phases of combat. Mm-hmm. You gain that life separately. It's instance each. So, if you have some other enchantment on the board that says like whenever you gain life, this happens. Each combat phase, it'll happen twice. It'll happen from your first strike. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gained three life or whatever it was from that creature. Okay, I attacked the normal combat phase. Oh, I gained three more life. So that effect happened twice.
Yeah.
Or there's a new red card out right now. It's not lifelink, but this is another thing about the double strike, is that every time you deal combat damage to a player, you get to like exile a card and cast it this turn or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's double strike, and that means that you're going to be able to have two combat phases in that, or whatever you want to call it, and that means you get to draw two cards. It's two triggers. So that's important to know, and with lifelink or with any of this kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. with lifelink, I think it's awesome because with the angel, whatever that thing is, the what's that one from M14?
Angel Serenity?
Is it No. It's Archangel.
Archangel of Thune.
Yeah.
That guy is a lifelinker, and if you were to like have a thing with that double strike on that or whatever, it has two triggers and it'll trigger twice so that whenever you gain life, put a 1/1 counter on everything. Mm-hmm. So you'll get two 1/1 counters. You get one from the first effect and one from the second effect. And I've seen it in standard play or whatever in tournaments, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is going on here? How did this thing, how come it's 2/1 counters or whatever? How come again this, like, you know, it's hard to, I didn't know that's what it was from the game.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? What else? Lifelink?
I think lifelink is pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of
yeah, there's some instances where it's kind of like, you know, with like lifelink with trample or some things like that, but I mean other than that, it's as long as you know that all the damage that is dealt to a target creature player
damage
or,
dealt period.
Yeah, period.
Planeswalker, so whatever, planeswalker whatever is, creature,
you're gaining that much life,
your dog, whatever.
There's not really a lot of corner cases with other keywords that mm-hmm. you have like some cool interactions with. It's pretty straightforward, and that, you know. Yeah, you know, there's like the double strike thing that Hot's also talking about, but that's kind of like with any other keyword, pretty much from double strike.
There are two different instances.
Yeah, so
I like to think of like double strike, like they have like two swords or something like that,
yeah,
and they attack with each sword in like in
separately.
Turn. Yeah,
right.
You know, they don't just strike with both swords at the same time. Yeah. It's like they stab with like their left hand, and then they stab you in the other eye with their right hand, you know, something like that.
Why the eye?
Eye gouge.
What if it's a cyclops?
Yeah, I know.
Well, then it's dead.
Yeah. Sucks for that cyclops then.
So, what else we got? We can, like, first strike, double strike. You want to say a little something about that?
Yeah, since we've been talking about it, let's.
I guess we kind of touched on double strike, which is it's not too hard.
Like
to
first strike. So there's a beginning of combat phase. There's declare attackers, declare blockers, and there's end of combat phase. We'll go through more in depth of the phases in a later episode, but for right now, just for the example. Normally, every creature that goes through the combat damage phase applies its combat damage, and that's it. Unless the creature has first strike or double strike. So whenever it has first strike or double strike, you have an extra combat damage phase before your original apply combat damage phase. So you have beginning of combat, declare attackers, declare blockers, first strike damage, and then normal damage, and then end of combat. So you don't have like a double, you don't have like a second first strike for a double strike. Double strike just means you apply first strike combat damage and regular combat damage.
If it's two power, it's essentially four power if you were to count both of them.
Yeah.
Or with first strike, if it's two power, it's just two power.
Yeah, you get to apply the damage first. That's all first strike means.
Before the defending creature.
Yeah, before
if he has a two toughness creature and you have a two power creature with first strike, you're going to win that battle every time because he's never going to, no matter what power he is, he'll never be able to hit you before you hit him.
Exactly.
So that's the first strike. Double strike's the same. Double strike has first strike and normal combat damage, where first strike only has.
And the regular strike.
The regular strike. Exactly. That regular strike's so good, though.
So, one cool thing I see a lot is with first strike and double strikers is they get to the first strike combat damage step, and say they have a 2-2 first strike. And they're trying to kill like a 4, they get blocked by a 4-4. They'll let the first strike damage happen, and then since you're going into a different phase, you have to pass priority, and like I said, we'll talk about that later in an episode. You have to pass priority to pass into the next phase. You can like lightning strike during that phase. So you can save your guy, you can apply the 2 damage from the creature to the 4-4, and then before you go into the normal combat phase, you lightning strike it, so you deal with the creatures so they don't get to strike back and kill your guy, and you ultimately get rid of their creature. So that's something to look out for when you're trying to, you know, figure out what you can do. That's why I think first strike is more of a defensive ability rather than an offensive ability, where I think double strike is the offensive side.
Yeah.
Because you get to apply damage twice.
Unless you're Ass Zealot, then you're...
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, Fabled Hero is a card, a white card, and it has double strike and heroic. It's a 2-2. So if I was to attack in and you had no blockers, it's a 2-2 with double strike. It'll basically do 4 damage. But if I hit it with a combat trick or whatever, not only does it turn it into a 3-3 because of the heroic, so I'm attacking for 6, I also get to add on whatever that ability was from the instant speed card I casted or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if I casted something that gave it another +1 or whatever, now I have a 4-4 attacking with double strike, I'm hitting you for 8.
Yeah, exactly.
I went from hitting you from 4 to hitting you from 8 by only adding... A card was supposed to only add 1,
it
actually added 4 or whatever.
Exactly.
You know? There's ways that double strike...
You get bonkers.
Yeah.
You can get
crazy. There's creatures that are like double strike. It's a 1-3 with double strike. So you're hitting for 2, like who gives a shit? But if you're able to madcap skills that guy and bring it another 3 power onto it, now you're hitting for 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy how fast you can make that creature.
And I think that's why we don't see a lot of creatures or ability or spells that give double strike. Just because it can get so out of hand.
Right.
All right. Well, I mean, that was informative, and this is all stuff.
I feel so much smarter right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
About magic.
I mean, this
and life in general.
This is like simple stuff. But for a somewhat newer player, and even for us.
Oh man, I remember when we first started
playing
magic.
I want to touch on one thing last thing to finish it off.
My penis? Is it my penis?
And I'm going to touch on your vigilant penis. That's the last thing of those basic cards. Or basic whatever abilities or whatever the fuck you want to call them. Anyways, vigilance is when you attack, it does not tap the creature or whatever during the attack phase. So it's something simple, but if you attack, you have to make the decision, do I attack now and tap my creature down so they can get in next turn, or do I hold off on attacking so I can block their creature next turn? Now you don't have to make that choice.
Vigilance so like is, you get all of it good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with like Brymaz, it's good on attack and blocking, and it gets to do both rather than choose which one it wants to do. So I just wanted to touch on that real quick. It's something simple. There's really nothing to talk about with it probably, but that will round out the 5 main things.
Noob's knowledge. So that is going to wrap it up for us with the noob's knowledge and pretty much for the episode. Like I said, this was all simple stuff, but some of it is just, you know, things you forget about or ignore
or just coming into the game. Coming into the game, there's a lot to learn. I mean, it's really daunting when you first step into the game and you're trying to, like, not only understand what cards do, what, like, power and toughness is, but you always have these keyword abilities and all this other stuff that you have to kind of wrap your head around. It's definitely always good to kind of get in depth with the actual keywords and actually get a firm, like, grasp and knowledge of what they actually mean and what they do.
Yep, so that will do it for episode 6. Check out the new website. Like us on all the various things on the internet. Just
Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, MTGcast, Shout Engine.
I feel like this should be like a dance. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter,
no,
Shout Engine. Come on, dance with me.
Right, there's a song in there somewhere. We'll figure it out.
So, it'll all be in the show notes. Everything will be in the show notes. Everything will be a transcription of the
We'll have it in Braille. Have it available yeah. in Braille next week, probably.
But thanks for listening in. This has been episode 6. My name is Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
This is Reich.
And Hot Sauce.
And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Later.
All right.
Anyways,
check it out.
Yeah, so,
bring it back.
Yeah,
about you,
Nexi. I don't know. I've just been doing talking about semen for a while, and
doing a lot of dukings.
Yeah, a lot of actually. Let's not get into that.
Right, that'll be another podcast. Yeah. That's for our late night after show.
Yeah, let's just say
you're single player.
Yeah. I've been playing against the AI.
Oh shit.